Hello and welcome to another episode of the Steel Opponent Podcast. It's Travis, and today I want to talk about the American Federation of Teachers lawsuit resolution with the Department of Education. I want to talk about what it is, why you should care, and I also want to talk about who this will impact positively and who still has to worry after this, because there's really a lot in this. So the American Federation of Teachers, which I think from my sort of high-level ChatGPT research is the more progressive of the two major national teachers unions, has sort of taken on this role of being the primary advocate for student loan borrowers in the courts lately. It's kind of interesting, I guess, that they're taking this role, but it's cool for borrowers because they're getting some results. Specifically, the results that I'm kind of wanting to highlight for this lawsuit settlement, and I'm not actually sure if I'm using the right word about settlement versus resolution, right? Because they're resolving this lawsuit with basically Department of Ed agreeing to do certain things. So what is Department of Ed, what was it doing? Why did the AFT, American Federation of Teachers, sue them in the first place? The Department of Ed essentially stopped IBR processing, I believe it was in March, for forgiveness because they said they had to, quote, figure this thing out, basically, for lack of a more precise explanation. The reason they did it is because they were wanting to update all their internal systems. So the Biden administration, if you recall, at the very waning hours of the Biden administration, released their payment count tracker, adjusted everybody's payment counts to reflect all the changes from the IDR account adjustment. And obviously the Trump administration wanted to do its own verification of how the Biden administration did everything. The new people got in there. So basically the goal was to do their own kind of analysis of things, right? To manage things the way they want it managed. And so they thought, oh, let's pause IBR forgiveness. Well, IBR forgiveness was never had a reason legitimately in the statute to be paused because it was unaffected by the SAVE plan injunction, right? So the SAVE plan injunction is what happened that the Trump Department of Ed decided that also impacted pay and ICR. And so they stopped processing forgiveness for pay and ICR and stopped processing forgiveness entirely, really, besides PSLF. And they processed PSLF buyback at a snail's pace. A lot of borrowers were coming up on a year-end deadline for getting forgiveness because they qualified for their 20 or 25 years worth of forgiveness credit. And a lot of borrowers, too, were having to switch from the pay or ICR plans to switch into IBR to get forgiveness before this lawsuit resolution. I'll just use the synonym settlement. And also the IBR payment cap in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that is no longer, you don't no longer have to have a partial financial hardship to sign up for IBR. That was also not being applied correctly. So people were really like frozen in time and able to do anything in a lot of ways. So Department of Ed basically said, all right, here's what we'll do. You can stay in ICR and pay, and if you reach your amount of years of forgiveness that you need until these plans sunset in July 2028, you can stay on them and you can get forgiveness on them. You don't have to switch out of them to IBR. That's a big deal if you're on the pay plan, because if you're on the pay plan, you get forgiveness after 20 years, and a lot of the only reason you'd be on the pay plan at this point is if you don't qualify for new IBR. So essentially, you'd reach your 20 years of forgiveness that you need on pay, and then you'd have to swap out to IBR to get your 25 years. So this takes that requirement away with this settlement, which is great news for anybody on the pay plan. The only catch is it only helps you if you're forgiven by July 2028 because the pay plan goes away and turns into the RAP plan if you do nothing. And I'll get into some negotiated rulemaking stuff that's going on a little bit later in today's pod. But I just want to say that this settlement resolution is actually a nice breath of fresh air. This was really fun to come back from vacation to because it was pretty much mostly positive. One time I was on a trip with my wife. She was going to some surgery conference in Spain. It was really fun enjoying ourselves there. And this was when the One Big Beautiful Bill Act was being written. And then at the last second, there was some really terrible language dropped into the bill about Parent Plus borrowers that would have ruined Parent Plus borrowers entirely. It was really stressful. It ruined that vacation for me because I had to contact our team, let everybody know, hey, we need to start getting our Parent Plus people like into this type of repayment status ASAP. And then finally, the final One Big Beautiful Bill Act text came out post-Senate parliamentarian, and they softened a lot of the language. And then we were all able to breathe a little easier and not worry as much because the One Big Beautiful Bill post-Senate parliamentarian intervening took out a lot of the worst stuff in it for borrowers. So, you know, I will say, I appreciate you listening to this. I hope you maybe a little bit appreciate me still doing this because in some ways, it's stressful. I'm just going to be honest. It's stressful sometimes like to try to stay on top of all this. I was talking to a buddy who's a student loan expert the other day, And he's like, bro, there's people that just continue to get out of this space because everybody's like, I don't want to be in this. And I understand why people get out of it. But at the end of the day, I do love doing this. I do love helping you. I do love giving you updates. I do love keeping you up to date so you don't have to stress about this stuff because I know it's stressful. I mean, if it stresses me, imagine if I can't imagine what it must feel like for you listening to this, right? That you're listening to me talk about student loans instead of listening to like funny dad jokes or a true crime podcast. It's way more interesting. So anyways, other updates on this lawsuit settlement that you need to know about. The PSLF buyback processing is supposed to continue. If you get forgiveness in 2025, and when I say forgiveness, I mean the private sector IDR forgiveness that you know you get in the private sector, not PSLF. That's always tax-free. But if you get private sector forgiveness, 2025 year forgiveness in 2025, even if it's processed in 2026, you still get tax-free forgiveness. You're not going to get a 1099-C where you have to report that as income. Now, the scary thing is, and I'll maybe transition this to what am I still worried about after this lawsuit settlement? That is kind of calling out that the taxation of student loan forgiveness is coming back in January 2026 for anybody who qualifies for forgiveness in 2026 or after who's not on PSLF. Anybody who gets forgiveness has got to pay a tax bomb, and that's really coming back. It really is. And so a lot of people got vastly accelerated credit from, you know, the IDR account adjustment, but people are going to have to deal with those big tax bombs in an accelerated fashion. I mean, I know a lot of people who are eligible for forgiveness in like late 2020s, early 2030s. That is not that far away. That is like, you know, 5 to 7 years away for some people. And folks are going to have to look carefully at their tax planning to make sure that they're ready for that. That's something to really kind of think about. We'll probably be talking about more on that as the new rules go into place in 2026. Other people I'm worried about, I would say the number one group that I'm the most worried about at the moment is Parent Plus borrowers who have not ever consolidated at all. So if you have unconsolidated Parent Plus loans, that is the what's the right word? Five alarm fire. I don't know what the right word is. Honestly, I'm not a firefighter, but you know, the DEFCON 2, I'm not a military service member, so I don't know the right word to use there, but it's really bad, right? It's really bad if you're a Parent Plus borrower who has not consolidated their loans ever. Now, if you've done one leg of your double consolidation, that's fine. I'm not super worried about you, actually. If you've done both legs of the double consolidation, that's great. I'm not super worried about it. What it seems like is that they're going to be gradually taking away the requirement to sign up for ICR first to then get into IBR if you have Parent Plus loans. And it seems like you're going to have until 2028 to get onto IBR before you're blocked from having access at all. And so that's all very promising. What is the one big concern here? The one big concern here is people who have never consolidated their Parent Plus loans ever. This is why it's a problem, because any new loans after July 2026 are not eligible for anything other than the RAP plan, but Parent Plus borrowers and people who have ever had Parent Plus loans are specifically excluded from the RAP plan. I think they wrote this bill in a hurry and they did not think about the fact that they have literally written into law that no Parent Plus borrowers, besides those who've already consolidated their loans before July 2026, besides that group of people, those folks will have access to zero income-driven repayment plans. Well, the problem is, there's grandfathering in of loan limits and things like that. So people are able to borrow these huge sums. So you have this like weird in-between period where people are allowed to take out like huge amounts of debt still, but they're not going to be able to access any repayment plans. And so essentially the smart thing to do based off of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, if you're a Parent Plus borrower who misses this July 2026 deadline, is to literally default on your loans. Because if you default on your loans, then they garnish you at 15%. So instead of repayment, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act for Parent Plus borrowers who fail to consolidate has actually incentivized default. So it's really kind of bizarre. I would expect at some point there will probably be legislation to fix this because, again, I think that they were under the gun, so to speak, and had to write really quickly with their One Big Beautiful Bill. And I don't think they were thinking about every single, you know, random nuance of people who would be impacted by this. And I think that, you know, the Senate parliamentarian was not going to be able to catch everything because of, you know, how much that they were asked to look at. So the great news is those people that have those Parent Plus loans, if you have unconsolidated Parent Plus loans, you can do something about it. You can consolidate them. You can just do it all in one fell swoop. Maybe wait to make a payment if you can. Try to, you know, because you have 90 days until it's considered technically late. You might just consolidate it and hope they get their act together so that you can just sign up directly for IBR if you're not already on a repayment plan. Now, all Parent Plus borrowers or people who have ever had Parent Plus loans, I do think need to get into IBR specifically, because I do worry a little bit about people that sign up for like pay or save forbearance or something that finish the double consolidation? What if they try to move them into RAP, but you're not eligible for it? I mean, you always have to think about those things. So it's probably safest for people who have done a single or double consolidation for Parent Plus to just try to get into IBR. But the great news is if you've already done the consolidations, you have until July 2028. But the real deadline is people who have not consolidated. And if you're still taking out Parent Plus loans for your kids, you have to essentially realize you're taking a massive risk by borrowing for the spring semester because it may or may not be consolidated before the July deadline. For non-Parent Plus borrowers, what am I worried about? It's still very possible to pay way too much. It's still very possible to not get forgiveness credit when you should. It's still possible to file the wrong way for taxes or make consolidation mistakes or not know that you should have way more forgiveness credit than Department of Ed's giving you credit for. All kinds of different things. So I'm still concerned for folks. We still have a reason to talk to people to help them save money for consults that are not Parent Plus related, you know, just regular consults that just people have Grad Plus or consolidated loans or subset of Stafford loans, right? We still have a lot of things we can do to help people on that. There's a lot of stuff with like IBR payment caps and, like I said, tax filing strategies and things like that that are, I think, that still are going to make the consult service really valuable for folks if that's what you need. Some other things I want to mention real quick. We might have a few more tax spots. We have a tax firm through SLP Wealth. You have to be a client of SLP Wealth Financial Planning to access those tax services. We have very, very limited availability for that service because it's just very difficult to build a great client experience, hire the right people for that. Tax is just a very difficult business to operate well. And we've determined that the goal is just rather than volume, we want to help everybody that comes to us extremely well and not worry as much about the volume of people we serve. We still serve hundreds of folks, but you know, we're just focusing on, you know, being conservative on how many clients we take on, if that makes sense. So if you happen to see a promo for SLP Wealth Tax Services come in the next couple to few weeks, just know that we will offer the spots that we have on a first come, first served basis if we have any. Still kind of determining if we have any. I think we might have a few or a couple dozen perhaps. And if we have some, we'll let you know about it. And you know, if those fill up, then we have to just let people know that they're full. But hopefully we'll have a couple dozen spots to offer on that. That's mainly a service for people who have over 200K household income, might have one spouse that's a borrower, one spouse who's not. So they need to do married filing separate. Maybe the income difference between the spouses is kind of high. So you're going to have to file an amendment to get thousands of dollars back as a refund after you do married filing separately at a later date. You might amend it to joint for folks in community property states like California or Arizona or something. You know, there's some specialty things you got to do with that. There's actually a lot of downstream impacts from married filing separate with retirement stuff, FSA stuff, capital losses you can write off in tax loss harvesting, how you do your backdoor Roth paperwork correctly. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that married filing separate does impact. And, you know, there's also going to be the complexity of, you know, this will they or won't they 2027 recertification dates a lot of people have for their IDR repayment, right? So excited to hopefully be able to offer a couple dozen spots for SLP Wealth Tax. Look out for that. Now, other things to think about on the horizon, there's some negotiated rulemaking going on. That means they're rewriting the student loan regulations. I'm hopeful on this because we're hopefully at least going to get clarity after the SAVE plan lawsuit put a bunch of injunctions on all kinds of hundreds of pages of student loan regulations that nobody really knows if they're around or not long term. Things like weighted average credit when you consolidate your loans outside of PSLF. The regs that define that is kind of part of the injunction still after years. And so we're still wondering if you consolidate your loans not for PSLF purposes, like what happens? You know, I would like that to be a lot more clear and unchallenged regulations before we get excited about telling people to do certain things that might impact that decision. So we're waiting on that. There's some interesting regs coming out of that committee that might be a little surprising. Like maybe they will maybe allow people to switch between IBR and the RAP plan a little bit more generously than I thought. That might have some implications for maximizing interest subsidies, right? And switching back at a later date to IBR if that were to be finalized and published in the register. But we have to wait and see. We can't speculate. We just got to monitor that in the coming weeks. And we'll probably have a few pods about the regulation writing committee and just what they decide to do. So if you need a consult, you know, studentloanplanner.com/book. If you want to ask a question on the pod, go to studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. And remember, my colleague, Megan McGuire comes out with an awesome pod called the Financially Free Era podcast by SLP Wealth. If you type in Financially Free Era and you see smiling Megan looking back at you with SLP Wealth called out somewhere on whatever podcast platform you listen to, I would definitely recommend following that show if you like this show. That's where we talk about like wealth building stuff, which is honestly a little bit more fun than student loans in a lot of ways. It's like, you know, maybe that could compete with true crime and comedy podcasts. Definitely go follow Financially Free Era podcast. And if you have any thoughts about the show, I'll always love to hear it. You know my inbox. So thank you all for listening. Have a great week. Are you on the free Student Loan Planner email list? If yes, you can upgrade your experience and discover student loan loopholes so good, they might get repealed if I talk about them publicly. Find out my very best thought leadership that I really just can't be super open about anymore, unfortunately. If you want to get our very best tips, not just the ones that I can share for free, go to studentloanplanner.com/insider to get a special discount for your year membership. That's studentloanplanner.com/insider and get our very best dozens of bonus content and tips that's going to save you money and get you out of student debt faster. And if you're already an SLP insider, please reply back to those emails and let me know how I can make it even more valuable.